Good morning. Nice to see you all. Matthew, chapter 25. We have not really got too far into this parable yet. We've been concentrating on the word then. Every word in the Bible is inspired by God. And therefore, every word is laden full of information, instruction, that can benefit us, not only in time, but eternity. So we've been thinking about this word then. But before we begin our study today, I want to mention a lady who went to be with the Lord Jesus very early this morning. She will be known to most of you here, indeed related to many of you here. She'll be known to you as Auntie Sadie. She was known to me as Mrs. Sadie McKinley for about 50 years because she was saved. And if my memory serves me right, she was saved in 1969 in a mission that was organized by LISPA Law, as it was then, Free Presbyterian Church, it later became Bethel, in the Orange Hall in Springfield, far side of Enniskillen. We had Dr. Paisley down for some of the meetings. And at one of the meetings at which Dr. Paisley was speaking, Mrs. McKinley was there. And she went home from that meeting, troubled in her heart, and she asked the Lord to save her. Now, although she got saved at home, soon everybody round about her heard about it. And I salute her memory today, because in many, many ways, she is the one to whom this school owes its existence. This church owes its existence. She was living here in Kilskerry at that time. She started attending LISPA Law. Indeed, I say she started, it's likely that she would have been already attending the meetings in LISPA Law. But now that she was saved, she immediately began witnessing. Immediately began witnessing. And some of you here, your loved ones, were saved as a result of her witness. Oftentimes her witness was greatly opposed, and she was treated, as is so often the case with Christians, she was treated pretty roughly. But it didn't stop her testifying. The house that I'm living in, she used to visit the family that was there in that house. And every time she called, she witnessed and witnessed and witnessed and witnessed, and was the means of getting that family to start attending LISPA Law. And they could see it. They could see it. Her brother, known to some of you here as Granda, Mr. Neville, he and his wife, and then members of the family, one after another, got saved as a result of her witness. And there were others living in this area to whom she witnessed many times. And now she's with the Lord. Her journey is over. She's with the Lord. Boys and girls, let me tell you, please learn this. We are surrounded every day, and our eyes see the earth and the things of earth and the things happening on earth, and we're inclined to forget, be distracted from the fact that every day we're journeying on toward eternity. And the lady, to many of you, Auntie Sadie, has ended her journey here on earth, and she's entered into the presence of the Lord. She had been waiting for this day some 50 years, but that's how long ago, as I say, she was saved. I knew her very, very well. I knew her very, very well. And we can but, as I say, salute her memory and praise the Lord who saved her and used her as a means of planting the witness here in Kilskerry. May the Lord comfort the whole wide family circle at this time, and amongst them there are those who need to be saved, and may the Lord save them. I know that would have been the prayer of Mrs. McKinley. Now let's turn, please, to that parable that we've been looking at. I suppose I need to bring you up to speed again, reminding you of where it is we have already looked in our study. Matthew chapter 25, and the verse 1 reads, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto," etc. Then. that statement immediately would require of us to ask, when exactly is this going to be? You say then. Well, when is then? To what time? To what period is the Savior speaking? And boys and girls, I want you to understand that reading and understanding the Bible is not a difficult thing. You engage in the same method of study. Whenever you take a little book in your hand, one of those favorite books you like to read, and you begin reading, and your mind takes in the various words and interprets what it is those words mean. And so the story that you're reading opens up in your mind, and you can see the characters and see the actions they're involved in and the excitement that they are enjoying. You can see it all in your mind as you interpret the words. Well, it's exactly the same with the Bible. In many ways, the Bible is a book. I suppose I could nearly say in every way, the Bible is a book that's different from all other books. But when it comes to understanding it, the same process of understanding words is engaged in. So we come to this verse and we read, then shall the, and you say, when is this then referring to? And the process by which we answer that question is pretty simple. Then, the Lord Jesus has been talking about certain events. And I will repeat something I've said many times during my times of preaching. Don't forget that chapter beginnings and divisions in the Bible were not there at the beginning. God didn't put them there. Men have added these chapter divisions to make it easy for you and me to find our way through the Bible. Can you imagine the difficulties we all would have if we didn't have this division? If I came to you this morning and I wanted to direct you to this verse and there wasn't a chapter division, how would I tell you? I'd have to say, now we're turning to the book of Matthew, and it's away toward the end of the book. You'll find a little verse that says, then shall the kingdom of heaven. And I'd have to then stand back and wait while you began to search for that verse. But men thought it a good idea, and it was a good idea. Why don't we divide these books up into various chapters, and then divide the chapters up into various verses, so that if we want to find a specific portion, we only have to say it's chapter such and such, and verse such and such. And immediately, we can find it. So that's why chapters and verses, numbers, were added. But they weren't there to begin with. And if you had been reading this passage of God's Word, you wouldn't have stopped at verse 51 of chapter 24. You would have read on to the next verse, which is verse 1 of chapter 25. And you would have seen immediately that verse 51 of chapter 24 is linked to verse 1 of chapter 25. And when the Lord says then, he's referring back to the period of time that he has been discussing. When was that? Well, turn back to chapter 24. And if we hadn't chapter 24 and the verses, I'd have to say to you, turn back and, oh, it's a good wee bit back, you'll find these words. And you'd have to be scratching about and looking and trying to find. Whereas, because these chapter divisions and verses have been added, I can say, look back to chapter 24, that's the chapter previous, and then look at the verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now the Lord, from that moment on, right into chapter 25, is talking about the matter the disciples have raised. They want to know, when shall this trouble come that you have referred to, when the temple will be destroyed? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So that's the topic the Savior is discussing. That's the period of history that he is considering with his disciples. Just interesting that we take note of that. Then shall the kingdom of God. And we know that the then relates to the period that leads up to the end of the world. And maybe I'll just stop there and say something important that you might ever bear in mind. When it says the end of the world in verse 3, that does not mean the end of what we see around us out there. It's not the physical earth that is talked about. Oftentimes, boys and girls, when men were translating from the original Greek writings of the apostles, they translated words and were a little biased because they read a word and they said, well, I know what that means. And they translated the word accordingly. And the views of many men 400, 500, 600 years ago regarding how this world will end prompted the translators to translate the Greek word that's here by the English word world, which gives the impression it's talking about the earth. But the Greek word is not talking about the earth. The Greek word is aeon, and that refers not to the physical earth, but a period of time, an age. What the Savior is wanting us to understand is that he's talking here about the end of the age, not the physical earth, the planet on which we live. No, he's talking about the end of the age, the end of the age, just the way we would talk about the end of a period in class, or the end of the day, or the end of a week. It's the end of a period of time. That's what the Savior is talking about. And the age, the aeon that we're living in now will end when the Lord Jesus comes again. When Friday ends, Saturday begins. Another day. This is the last day of May. Tomorrow, a new month begins. June. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, there will be an end of an age, and a new age will begin. A new age will begin. So he's talking here then about the end of an age. Naturally enough, and here the disciples set a good example for us, they're interested. And they're interested because they would have known at least something of what the ending of the age would mean and the beginning of a new age would mean. That meant a lot for the Jewish people. And they were excited to hear the Savior mention this, and they're saying, tell us more about it. Now, personally, I can't understand how any Christian would not get excited about that subject. God has great plans that will come to pass when Jesus Christ comes again. And God's wonderful plan for the next age will begin. And it's our privilege, you and me, sitting here in Kilskerry in the middle of nowhere. Nobody's. As far as the world is concerned, it's our privilege to know what it is God has planned for the age to come. Does that not interest you? Mommy or Daddy said, we're going such and such a place for our holidays this year. You'd say, what? Tell us about this place. What is there there? Is there a beach? Are there mountains? What is it like, this place? Is it nice and sunny? You want to know! Well, something far more exciting than a holiday is planned by God. Don't you want to know about it? Surely you do. The disciples did. They said, Lord, tell us about this. Tell us about this. It says, then they began to talk to him privately. Verse 3, privately. They got in close to him, as it were, and they had this nice little huddle. I look down, you know, sometimes from the window in our home, and you're out playing, but here and there, in a corner, there's a little huddle, and three or four friends are all chattering away. And they're not in the least taking in what's happening around them. They're interested only in their company and in their conversation. It's nice to see. Well, here are, and I think I can call them friends. The Lord Jesus said, ye are my friends. So here's a huddle of friends, and they're all talking. though the disciples would chiefly be listening to what it is the Saviour's telling them about then, the times that are to come. I mentioned that the word world should be translated age, period of time, and I'll show you, if I may, just quickly before we move on, some verses, two verses that illustrate this same truth. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, you'll see this word world or aeon referred to. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There's our word. Here the translators put in ages, the English word ages, because the word world wouldn't have fitted the context. That in the worlds to come, well, it doesn't make sense. There's not a lot of worlds coming. That's not in the plan of God. So they knew it's a reference to periods of time, the endless ages that are to come. And that's what the Saviour was speaking of, and what the disciples were asking, the end of this age. The end of this age. Look at another verse. It's further over, Colossians, the chapter 1, the verse 26. Colossians chapter 1, the verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Well, there again, you can see that the English word world wouldn't fit the context. From the worlds? There haven't been worlds. There's only one world. But there have been generations, periods of time, so that the word eon there is translated by the English word ages, because it refers to periods of time. A period of time. That then is what we're looking at, what the disciples are asking about, when they say, when will be the end of this age? They're not referring to the end of the earth, the end of the planet. And I think that is important for us to grasp, because we can then make sense of prophecy related to this topic if we rightly understand what is being spoken of. So that identifies for us the time that's spoken of and referred to by the word then. Then shall be. Events that lead up to the end of the age. That's when the church will be like the 10 virgins of the parable. One more thing and then I close. How does the Saviour answer their question? Verse 4 of Matthew 24. And it's very important to notice how the Saviour thinks. They're saying, what will be the signs of your coming and the end of this age? But the Saviour does not apply himself to that direct question. Instead, he thinks, there's something more important for me to say before I begin giving them details about the signs of my coming. And the important thing that he wants to say before he says anything else is found in the verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. What does he mean by that? He's indicating that this subject that he's about to discuss with his disciples is one about which there's much deception. Now, I'll illustrate what I'm saying. If your mum or dad said, I want you to go into town for me, pick up something. You go down such and such a street and you come to the corner and I want you to cross the road. And then before they give you any more instructions, they'll say, be careful crossing the road. It's dangerous. Make sure there's no traffic coming. And that's what the Saviour's doing here. Before I tell you anything, let me warn you. There's a lot of lies, a lot of deceit, a lot of falsehood circulate. Now the devil is the one that's doing the circulating. But he uses men to deliver the lies. And the Saviour starts out by warning. There's a lot of deceptions surrounding events that mark my coming. And he returns to that again and again and again. And other portions of God's word. And maybe I'll start off next Tuesday in the will of the Lord by showing you how that other servants of God were prompted to issue the same warning. Deception. Lies, falsehoods, corrupting the truth of God concerning the second coming. You bear that in mind, boys and girls, and only believe what it is the Bible says. And check everything men say against the Bible. Is that what the Bible says? Does that fit exactly what the Bible says? We don't want to be deceived about this matter. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we are conscious today of the passing of one of Thy saints, one who, under Thy grace and power, was instrumental in witnessing in this area and of seeing some friends and neighbors turn to Christ. And that in turn led on, Lord, to the beginning of the work and witness here in the early part of the 1970s. The formation of the church, Lord, and the building of the buildings here in 1974. The starting of the school 40 years ago, all through the grace of God and by the early testimony of one who is now in heaven. We thank Thee for Thy great kindness, Lord. We pray comfort will be granted to all who grieve and mourn today. May they have the sweet and precious comfort of knowing that she is with the Lord. Bless your word to every boy and girl today, and bless our school. Please, Lord, intervene in the affairs of our little congregation. Please, Lord, move by Thy grace and power, and to the honouring of Thy name. Answer prayer for us, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.